It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Leading off with the big story of the day. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Your legacy is kind of like everything you've done throughout your life, you know, the process of being part of it, you know. I was very young when I came into Denver. I was, you know, 31 years old and coming with some responsibility at a young age. And a lot of these guys are 23, 24, as old as you. So I had a chance to get to know them, spend a lot of time with them. And when you get to know people on that personal level, it's a lot of fun because you want to, you know, go the extra mile for them. And you have that type of relationship where they trust you, they believe in you, and you believe in them as well. And you want the best thing for them, just like they want the best thing for you.
Mike has been such a great mentor to me in teaching me the game. One of the things I lean on Mike for is I say, hey, help me understand the game like a coach would understand the game, right? He's been absolutely a huge influence in my career.
That's one thing about the journey. If you're in coaching, the journey is never easy, but you got to fight through it. You're going to have the, you know, highest highs and the lowest lows, and tough times don't last, tough people do.
It's overdue and well-deserved, and I would hope and think that Mike's next stop and next induction would be into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which I also think he's beyond worthy of.
I think Mike Shanahan not only belongs in Mount Rushmore of Denver coaches in any sport, he is the best and has been the best of all coaches, I believe, on any level in the history of Denver sports, Colorado sports. Mike Shanahan undoubtedly is the best.
Let's see.
Personally, my football career would have been over if not for Mike Shanahan.
Guy that gave me a chance when there wasn't many people that were willing to give me an opportunity. Took my visit here. I remember being in awe of, you know, talking with Mike.
Induction would be into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which I also think he's beyond worthy of.
Mike Shanahan was an absolute no-brainer, Ring of Famer, the greatest coach in the history of the franchise, and it's not even close. There's nobody that could even run in the same table as Mike Shanahan.
What a tribute. And joining us now is Mike Shanahan, who will be immortalized in the Ring of Fame this weekend. Coach, thank you for being on with us, man. Are you getting tired of everybody saying so many nice things about you?
I am. That's kind of unusual. So that's very nice. But what a nice tribute by you guys. Thank you.
Well, Coach, I got to tell you, this is such a highlight for me. You know, not only for what you did for me in my career, which was tremendous. Everywhere I went was either because of you or one of your disciples, but also as a Denver kid. I mean, every time I get to see you, and I get to see you quite a bit, I feel giddy in this moment. I feel giddy for you, the celebration this weekend. Curious what's just going on in your mind as you get to be celebrated this weekend and go into the Ring of Fame. What does this mean to you?
Well, Tyler, to start off with, it was such a pleasure coaching somebody like you because you enjoyed the game. You worked at it. And when you came in, obviously didn't have a lot of fanfare, but you earned everything you got. And that's what makes, to me, you know, playing in National Football League so special because it's not easy and everybody knows it. But when you can fight and compete like you did, it's fun to be on your show.
Well, that means a lot. That means a lot.
What is the biggest challenge, Coach, in taking a talented group and pushing them to a championship level? And man, have we talked endlessly about losing to Jacksonville in such a disappointing way as a springboard to championships. What do you think it takes?
Well, when you talk about a game like Jacksonville, all of a sudden you get beat 30-27 like we did, and then all of a sudden, you know, you look back at the game, and you got to be tough on yourself. I remember Terrell Davis running the ball 14 times. You know, got 91 yards, so 6.5 yards of carry. But that's all we ran the football. We weren't as tough as we should have been. But the next year we play in the playoffs again, we run the ball 49 times for 350 yards. So, you know, so you're going to have some bad games, but you got to figure out why you didn't play very well and come back, hopefully, with vengeance and play one of your better games like we did.
Coach, you had a Hall of Fame career, which means you obviously coached for a lot of great teams. However, I was on a couple teams in which we struggled. And, I'm curious your point of view. In my opinion, 2012 might have been your single greatest year of coaching ever. Based off of where we were 0-6, 0-7, whatever it was. We had to win seven straight games to make the playoffs. We did it. And what does it take to turn around a season when things are going bad, when things are just not going the way you want? How do you get that done?
Well, to me, that's the National Football League, that you're going to have the highest highs and the lowest lows. And after you do play a poor game, you have to have everybody coming together, because to me, what you actually want to do, or you got to have the mindset, if you're good on offense, you're good on defense, and you want to have that game where everybody has one of their better games, you got to actually try to embarrass somebody. And it's hard to do in the National Football League because there's so many great athletes. But when people make a commitment individually and then you do it as a team, then you've got a chance to do something as a group, because it's not easy to embarrass people in the National Football League. But you can do it if everybody's playing together. And sometimes I think the expectation level and your level, you have to have that mindset going into the game to separate yourself.
How do you balance coaching guys, men differently on that professional level? I would imagine that is such an incredible challenge. And you are awful lucky because you're so connected with John Elway for so many years. There has to be a different way you would treat John Elway to other guys on the team. But that's really important. I mean, you need every guy, though, right? It's just I'm just imagining you can't treat them all the same. So I'm curious what your philosophy was as you were dealing with that.
Players are very smart. They can see a phony very quickly. I think you have to be yourself. You want to treat people the way you want to be treated, and sometimes you got to be a little bit tougher on people because they're not tough on themselves. But the guys that you know that are motivated, guys that have a lot of personal pride, it's very easy to coach those guys. The guys that you got to try to push and get them to another level, guys that really don't know the talent they do have and what type of level they have to play at. So you've got to talk to those guys constantly and be very tough on them and demanding.
Well, this is a weekend to celebrate your accomplishments here in Denver. So I'm curious, looking back on your career, do you have a game or two that you are particularly proud of that maybe isn't obvious? Yeah, you got the Super Bowls. What are some moments that might not be obvious on the surface?
Well, I think when you go back to games, you got to figure out what type of football team you're going against, and you got to find a way to win. I was really pleased back in 97 when we went out and beat Kansas City 14-10. And it was a game that I knew we weren't going to have to throw the ball very much. I think we threw it 19 times in that game, and we're going to have to run it more because they were a very good defensive team. Hadn't given up a rushing touchdown in like 42 to 44 quarters. And so you had to just find a way to win it. Just don't lose it. Don't turn it over. Try to score when you get in the red zone. But or Pittsburgh, you know, the next week, 24 to 21, and making a play, a third down play, that you got to do it on the road. To give yourself an opportunity to play in the Super Bowl. So it's not always those great games, but the games that are going to be very tight, and you just got to find a way to win and make plays in the fourth quarter that some teams don't make.
I got to ask you a little bit of a fun one. So you got Kyle in town, which is awesome. Love the fact that he's on the bye week. You got your family. Everybody's going to be there celebrating. Watch you go into the Ring of Fame. Is it kind of fun that it happens at the same time that the Broncos are playing the Raiders?
Hopefully you know that was intentional, don't you?
I don't know, was it?
It's an interesting coincidence.
I'm just teasing. It's great. I mean, it's like anything. You know, people even, they talk about the Raiders, and you know, people forget, even when I went there as a head coach, that last game that we were playing, well, I was playing for the Raiders, we were 7-8. We're playing the Seattle Seahawks, and if the Raiders won, We win the AFC West, and we lose that game 43-37. Of course, I'm probably not in Denver because I stay on as a head coach. So, you know, that's part of football. You're going to go through the highs and lows, and sometimes you're going to, you know, get over the hump. Other times you won't, but you just got to keep on fighting.
Well, maybe I should just ask it this way. Do you hate the Raiders?
The true answer is yes.
Thank you. There it is. I love it.
Hey, so Mike, I got to say, it's so, I hope we can sort of laugh at this, but I just want to play you Vic Fangio from earlier today. Earlier today, Vic said this about you and the Raiders.
You know, a little bit, but I mean, Mike had, you know, dealings with the Raiders, you know, where they tried to stiff him on the money. So, I mean, so yeah, he had a reason.
Mike, that it's still going today.
It wouldn't be bad.
Right.
When you're young, especially like I was, I had 250,000 reasons to be a little upset.
Okay, Terrell Owens. Oh, I love that.
How proud of you are you of, that's a loaded question, easy one, but your coaching tree includes your son. How does that make you feel, not only as a coach, but as a dad?
Well, it makes you feel very proud anytime, you know, your kids are doing well, you feel very good. And, I just like the, you know, Kyle's kind of like journey that he had. You know, it's not easy as a coach because, you know, there's no way you do it, especially when you have to come in as a coach's son. But, you know, just going in and going with Carl Durrell for a year and then going through the kind of the graduate assistant or part-time offensive coach with John Gruden, then getting your chance as a receiver coach, quarterback coach. There's so much hard work that's involved, and you got to go through a process. And it doesn't really happen unless you really work at it, because there's no easy way to put those hours in. You have to love it. You got to take a lot of pride in it.
Well, you know, for me, it's not just Kyle, though. Yeah, I look around the league, and it's amazing to think about all the guys that were on that staff with you out in Washington, the same teams that I was playing on. You know, we've got Kyle, you got Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, Mike McDaniels might get an opportunity at some point. There's others that might get opportunities. Your imprint is everywhere. How fun is it to watch just, you know, not only your offense continue, but to see subtle changes that the guys have taken over with your offense?
Well, it's fun to watch. I think really the fun part for me is when I first went to Washington, they have a lot of these young guys that, man, they were tireless. They wanted to take a look at everything teams were doing, take our offense to a new level. And when you take a look at all the things that have been done, and it's done every 5-6 years, it's a revolving process relative to the National Football League with offenses and defenses. But, you know, you've got to work at it to be at the top of your game on offense and defense. And if you don't take a lot of pride in it and you're not studying what people are doing, you can get left behind very quickly.
You know, I think it's going to be an amazing weekend for you, and rightfully so. And I think one of the things that you'll see is how many fellas come back here to celebrate with you. But I think that has happened because of how you have stayed in contact with so many of your former players.
Yep.
Why has that been so important for you, and what kind of concerted effort have you made to stay in touch with those guys?
Well, to be honest with you, these guys were my friends. You know, when I was coaching, I'd come in at 31 years old, and, you know, you're here for, you know, 21 years, and it was something that, you know, you were with them every day, and you went through the off-season program, you went through the highs and lows, and, you know, that's one thing about football. Anytime you go through 3 Super Bowls and AFC Championship and you actually lose or get embarrassed of those, then there's nothing else to do but fight and find a way to finally get it done. And it's been so fun for me to watch the organization just keep on getting better. You know, 8 Super Bowls and obviously the process that's involved, and to play for a guy like Pat and have a quarterback like John, those are the things that give you a chance to be a good coach.
Well, Coach, I know you've got an unveiling here tonight. We're not going to keep you long. I do want to tell you that this show today has felt very personal for me because I'm going down memory lane. Obviously, I've got so many stories to tell. I'm going to tell a story here in a little bit. Once you're gone, I won't get sappy in front of you. But, you know, when I retired, I wrote you a handwritten letter to thank you for everything that you did in my career. You wrote something back the very next day. 2 days later, I had a handwritten letter back in my mailbox. I'm going to read that to the listeners because that's how much it meant to me. So I just want to take an opportunity to say thank you from the bottom of my my heart for everything that you've meant to me, to my family, for taking a chance on me, and would like to just give you an opportunity to say anything you might want to the fans on your way out the door as we get to celebrate you this weekend.
Well, first of all, thank you, Tyler. People like you are the reason why I coach. The one thing I thought was so interesting for me coming into Denver back in 84 is that I had been to five different colleges. And, you know, I was at, each one was a little different. But when I had the opportunity to go into pro football, the one thing I kept on hearing from everybody is that you're going to see it's not the same as college. The fans aren't the same in pro football as they are in college. And, you know, so that was my mindset. So when I got here and got a chance to start coaching, I said, oh, boy, they were so wrong. They don't know the fans here in Denver. They're special because there was, you know, when you're at Oklahoma or Florida and you get a chance to see people with them in the big games, and then all of a sudden I said, you know what? Denver Broncos is just like a perfect college atmosphere because that's the way the fans react. And they're so on top of the game as well. So it's been such a fun ride for me.
Well, it's incredible, Coach. We're so grateful for everything you've done. And have a great time tonight. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for inviting me, by the way. I'll see you tomorrow, and it'll be a great weekend.
Your mind must have got lost in the mail. But
I won't bring him, Coach.
But no, it's all right. But Mike's always been really nice when we run into each other. Yes.
I should have hired you a long time ago. But just coaches on his staff and players that played. So I'd love to have you, but
That's all right. You've said hi to me on the party deck at Shanahan's once or twice. So I'll just take that. That's fine. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Coach.
Good, you, Matt. Take care, buddy.
All right.
Oh, he called you buddy. He called you buddy.
We really have had I've been very lucky to not like nothing compared to that. But it's he's always been really cool to me over the years, and I think he's great.
It's just the absolute best, man. I mean, I get emotional thinking about Coach Shanahan. It is amazing. You asked him a question about how did he treat the superstars versus the Tyler Plumbuses, right? And that's a great question because not all coaches know how to handle that. What his answer was that you just got to be authentic and you got to be real. So if you're going to be difficult, if you're going to be hard on one guy, you got to be hard on the superstars as well.
Yeah.
But the one thing that he always did well was he treated everybody on an individual basis. He didn't have one particular coaching style. He knew how to read a human being. And he knew how to coach a human being. And every human being got coached a little bit differently because we all respond differently to different techniques. And, you know, the way he treated me versus the way he treated Robert Griffin versus the way he treated Trent Williams. Mm-hmm. Everything was going to be different, but it was always authentic.
Yeah, in a league where parity is the goal. They want everybody to be every team to be relatively the same. And, boy, does the NFL do as much as they possibly can to guarantee that. Right,
That's
Tyler?
Right. That's right.
So, okay. So how do you do it? I mean, what do you do? Everybody's got kind of the same set of circumstances. So what is it that rises one team above others? What do you do with the coaching? Where does the coaching matter? Now, of course, it certainly helps to have a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, you know, you're only as good as the players that you absolutely have. But that's never enough. By itself, you got to do other things to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And with Mike,
you got to have the players, right? You can have the coaches, and it's tough to evaluate how talented a coach is without the players.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, coaches will rise to the top because they will turn average players into great players.
The irony is, the closest the Broncos have gotten in all these years since Mike. I mean, think about how long that's been. It's Kubiak.
Yep.
And boy, have they, you know, tried. And of course, if you want to go through the, you know, Games of Thrones drama, it's been John Elway who was in charge of sort of seeing if we couldn't replace that Mike Shanahan. It wasn't John initially. John came later after the McDaniels disaster. But I mean, essentially, we were trying to find it. And John did find it again with Koobs.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of got there.
It's
with
hard
Fox.
To get the band back together too. Honestly,
yeah.
When you go back to the well and you try to bring all the same guys back, most of the time it doesn't work out the way it did with Kubiak.
I guess the one lingering question, boy, would this be a fun book or a documentary or something? And maybe we'll get the whole story at some point. But isn't it obvious that Kyle should have been hired as the head coach?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Of course it's obvious that he should have been hired. Of course it's obvious that he never was going to be hired.
Why?
You think John Elway was going to hire Kyle Shanahan?
I don't know. Why not? Why not?
How do we do this one?
I don't know. By the way, you don't have to do it.
No. Just think about it. Like, okay, who's somebody that you respect? Mike Evans, somebody that you've been in this industry with for a very, very long time. You went to school.
Is there anybody else?
Anybody else. That was probably a poor choice. You're right.
I have a lot of respect for Mike.
All right. You've been around Mike Evans forever. You guys went to the same school. Mm-hmm. You know that you guys have got the same pedigree. You know how successful he is. And you look at him that way because you've experienced so many years by his side. If his son came in, you would look at him and you would try to treat him with respect. Mm-hmm. You would look at him and you would say, I want to mentor you. But would you look at his son and think, wow, you're as good as your dad? So or would you look at him like he's still a 15-year-old?
You're calling it the ball boy factor.
Yes, yes. Would you look at him like he was still the punk teenager?
I don't know. It's a fair question. I would like to hope so. But that's a great question. I mean, you know.
I also don't know if Kyle would have even taken the job. If the Broncos would have offered him the job.
He did interview for it, though.
I know he interviewed for it. But let's think about this for a second. If he were offered the job, John Elway's the boss. How are things going down? Who's the boss? Is Kyle getting to select the players? Is Kyle getting control of personnel? Is Kyle getting to select his coaches? Answer that.
Probably not.
Okay, so
not at that time because at that time you're coming off Fox and Kubiak, and I think John wanted to establish things on his own, and I think that's why VJ got the job, and I think because VJ got the job, it was also VJ didn't hire a lot of the same guys, and you know frankly Fangio didn't hire
So let's assume for a second.
Don't forget when Fangio got hired, Kubiak was supposed to be the offensive coordinator. But Kubiak wanted to bring back a bunch of dudes that Elway had fired, and that was just, we're not going to have it. And they all went to Minnesota.
Right. Well, all right, so let's play in fantasy land here for just a second.
Sure.
So Kyle gets offered the job by the Denver Broncos, but more than likely John Elway's going to stay in control of the roster and probably advise him on what coaches to hire.
Mm-hmm.
49ers offer him a job. They offer him the world. They say you get to choose your GM.
Right.
You've got a 7-year deal, whatever it is. You get full control over the roster,
right.
And this is yours.
Right.
This is your building.
Right.
You walk in here, everybody answers to you.
Right.
What job are you taking?
Yeah, I'd take the San Francisco job.
Of course.
I would. And it's just, you know, that he did interview for, so he's interested to it to a certain degree. But you're right. At the end of the day for Kyle, in all honesty, the San Fran opportunity, because of all that, actually was a better opportunity. And there is something about being in your dad's shadow to a certain degree to have to live up to. I don't think that would have been the deciding factor.
That's cool also. Like, you know, Kyle's a confident dude.
I have no doubt
that he would feel like if Denver was the right situation that offered him the right control, I have no doubt that he would have confidence that he could come in and do what his dad did and not feel like he's living in a shadow.
All right. Moving on. But that was cool. Very cool. The water cooler is coming up next.